Hi everyone, welcome to Cook Talk. This is now episode 6, would you believe, of the official podcast of Pennycook Athletic Football Club. I'm your host, Dougie Penman, and I'm joined tonight by one of our current squad members. It's defender Andy Forbes. Forbesy, how are you?
I'm good, thanks Dougie. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good, you keeping busy?
I have been, yeah. So, you know, luckily I've been able to work from home. You know, during the pandemic, which has been, lucky or unlucky, depending at which way you look at it. And it's been a bit challenging with both myself and my wife working from home and the wee one running around at home. But it's been, I mean, the main thing is that we're safe and healthy. How about yourself?
Still working away, doing these podcasts. They just try and keep myself sane, I think, with Pennycook stuff. But missing it a wee bit, but we'll be back soon, hopefully. So,
I think we've all been enjoying the content, so keep it up.
We'll try. Hopefully tonight is as good as the rest of them. So we're going to have sort of just a general chat just about your Pennycook career, but before you joined us, you obviously you're from up north. I don't know how many people actually realise that. You spent some time at Inverurie Local Works as a youth player, made a few reserve appearances, and then moved down to Heriot-Watt University and joined the football team while you were studying. Hopefully spent more time studying than playing football. And then you spent a year at Haddington Athletic. But can you just sort of sum up that time before you joined Pennycook?
Yeah, so I was at Inverurie Locos for, I suppose, from about under-15s up to under-18s, and then left the North East to go to university, as you said. So Inverurie is a really great club, really enjoyed my time there. As you said, made sort of a couple of appearances for the reserves before moving to Heriot-Watt. Then at Heriot-Watt, I was there for 8 years in total. So 4 as a student and 4 as a graduate. I suppose the good thing about Heriot-Watt is that you, or any university, you get the sort of Wednesday league, which is playing against all the other universities. And then most of them have got a sort of Saturday team, which at the time was East of Scotland, and for Heriot-Watt still is, obviously. I mean, I think, you know, learned a huge amount at Heriot-Watt, both sort of on the pitch and off the pitch, in terms of, you know, good habits and humility, as I said, both sort of on and off the pitch. I was sort of working away after I had graduated, so Monday to Friday I wasn't really able to train, and was just coming back, and was kind of fortunate enough to sort of still get picked to play on a Saturday morning. I had been there for quite a while, but then moved careers, and the best thing about the sort of career move was the kind of work-life balance really allowed me to sort of commit. So that was when I decided to leave Heriot-Watt. And I think the whole Haddington thing came about between Chris Smith, who's the coach at Heriot-Watt, and Keith Wright, who I'm sure every Pennycook fan will remember. So they both worked at the SFA, and I think Chris had said to Keith, you know, there's a guy who's looking to sort of leave and make his way into football outside of Heriot-Watt, and then that was when I spoke to Johnny, and you know, Johnny kind of, you know, sold Haddington to me, and it seemed like a really good sort of club to make my first step out of university football. And I must admit, I loved my year at Haddington. You know, we had, you know, a really strong team that year, and quite a few faces that are familiar to Pennycook. So obviously there was 5 of us that moved on from Haddington. So there's myself, Hume, Wayne Sproul, Honey, and Gareth Tom, although I don't think he went on to make any appearances after moving. But we had you know, likes of Aaron Ponton, who went on to Pennycook eventually, and Sinky, Andrew Sinclair, had a short spell. So we had a really strong side that year, I think, and they had just been promoted the year before I joined. But I think that the you know, the team did really well to sort of almost get into the kind of playoff spots for promotion. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed my time at Haddington, and I think they're a great club, and I do still sort of keep an eye on some of their results.
So you mentioned joining us then in 2016 as one of the Haddington Five, we'll call you. How did that sort of move come about? Was it off a quick, or was it something that you had a lot of time to think about?
I think it happened fairly quickly, to be honest. I remember when Craig Meikle left as the manager of Pennycook, Johnny was kind of instantly linked with it, having done a really good job at Haddington and Edinburgh United before that. So I think when that job became available, given he had the sort of history with Pennycook as a player, I think in the dressing room at Haddington, we all sort of could see it coming that he was gonna go to Pennycook. And after he asked me, I mean, well, I was enjoying my time at Haddington. I think the opportunity to to play at a higher level was tough to turn down, and it didn't really take too much thought, to be honest. I'd heard good things about Pennycook from guys that had played there. Like, so James McPartlin at Haddington had played there before. So it didn't really take too much thinking to make the move.
So you were around for pre-season, then you missed the opening game of the season. I can't quite remember why. And made your debut midweek against Musselburgh in a rain-soaked Pennycook Park. And I'm sure that's something you've gotten used to over the years. But do you have many memories of your debut?
I was going to say, I remember the pitch was very slick. And I just remember thinking that it was, it was a real step up in terms of the quality and the pace of the game. And I think there was a bigger crowd than probably at Haddington and certainly at Heriot Watt. But I don't remember too much about the game itself. I mean, I think it finished in a one-each draw. But I think I was just delighted to make my debut, and obviously was disappointed to miss the first game, so sort of trying to to make my mark. But don't remember too much more about it, to be honest.
And you mentioned the making your mark. It didn't take you too long to get your first goal for us against Fauldhouse and a 6-1 winner. A nice left foot volley from you.
Yeah, I think if you'd asked me what my first goal was going to be, I wouldn't have said a left foot volley. But I do remember it reasonably well. I think it was Louis Barr that kind of charged down the left, and what I was doing in the box and what I was doing swinging my left foot, I'm not quite sure. But luckily it went in. And I think when you move to a new club, you're always looking to get your first goal and kind of try and establish yourself. So obviously a goal does help with that.
And obviously that was a couple of months into your time at Pennycook, but how did you feel you were settling in? Did having familiar faces from Haddington maybe help that process?
Yeah, I mean, it did help, obviously, having having the other Haddington guys there, and obviously the coaching staff were the same, and the sort of philosophy of how Johnny wanted to play was fairly similar. But I think we had to work quite hard to I suppose establish ourselves and sort of win over the kind of fans. I think naturally when you sign players from a lower division, I think there can be a bit of skepticism about whether they can make the step up or not. But I think the three of us and Honey in his time as well, did really well quite early on to sort of endear ourselves. So I think we all settled in, pretty quickly, and the guys in the changing rooms were very welcoming, and there was the odd jokes about the Haddington Five, as you say, but I think quickly forgotten about as the season went on.
And you mentioned winning over the fans. One thing that will do that is goals and assists, and when you've got 8 goals in your first season from right back, and I can't remember how many assists it was, but I know it was double figures. Do you feel that was maybe something that really helped?
Yeah, I think so, and I think the way that we played certainly suited my game. I mean, I think to Stevie Noble, left back, was, you know, a very, very solid left back defensively, but you know, was quite happy to sort of sit in alongside the centre halves when I was you know, trying to get forward down the right hand side. So I think the way that we played certainly helped me, and guys like you know, Yanni, Lewis Barr, and then Callum Connolly as well. You know, they've got the ability to spray that diagonal that I, you know, like to sort of get on the end of. So I think, you know, a lot of it was the freedom that I got to play in that way. But yeah, I think that's probably the best stats I've had in my career. So that year definitely was, you know, was a fairly successful one for me personally.
And you mentioned it being a success personally. You ended that season with two awards, both the supporters and players' player of the year awards. But can you sort of sum up that entire first season over the league form and the cup games as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had kind of mixed fortunes in that season. I think we didn't really manage to get the kind of consistency to sort of challenge at the higher end of the league, but I think we had some good results in there. And I think in terms of the awards, I mean, I was very lucky to play alongside some you know, some top players at that level, and I think that obviously makes it you know, a lot easier. And I think in terms of Johnny's first season, I think we did reasonably well. I think we were disappointed not to to get any silverware. I mean, I think that's always the marker of how good a season you've had. And unfortunately, that season we didn't get any silverware. But I think in terms of the way that we started playing, you know, we definitely picked up on Johnny's philosophy. And I think if you look at the way we started my second season, I think a lot of sort of laying the foundations for that were in that first season.
And moving on to your second season, you'd had a good year, debut season, and it was sort of a big honour to come as you became Pennycook's first junior Scotland international since the 70s and joined a very select group of players at Pennycook to have had that honour. But what was that experience like, and how did you find out in the first place?
I mean, as a team, Pennycook, we were flying at the start of the season. I think we went on, you know, a really strong run of wins to begin with. Personally, it didn't get off to the best of starts for me because I got sent off in the first game of the season at home to Linlithgow. But as a team, we were flying. Had some really good results, and I'd sort of managed to get that consistency that we didn't quite have the season before. I think in terms of the whole Scotland thing, I think Johnny had mentioned to me, I can't remember when, but before a game that there was a chance that I was going to be selected, or that the manager was sort of coming to have a look. And I really just tried to put it to the back of my mind, to be honest with you, and sort of focus on the games that we had for Pennycook and doing well for Pennycook. I think I was actually at work when I found out that I had been selected. And yeah, I mean, it was obviously a huge honour to be selected. And I think you know, it was just as much an achievement for Pennycook as it was for me. I mean, I think a lot of the credit goes to the other players and the management and everyone behind the scenes, because I think, you know, that gives you the platform to you know, to put in the performances that get you picked for the Scotland junior team. So it was, yeah, a huge honour. And you know, I've since met both Willie Hume and John Thorburn, so it's obviously you know, a massive honour to be in that kind of exclusive club with them. I mean, the tournament itself, it was certainly a memorable week for me. I should definitely mention my wedding on the Saturday first before I talk about the the game. So obviously got married to my now wife Catherine on the Saturday, so up in the northeast of Scotland. But yeah, I mean, it was just an incredible week to play for Scotland. And I think it was the Wednesday afternoon was the Northern Ireland game, which we kind of threw away. Was probably the only disappointment of the week, really, was sort of throwing away that two goal lead in the first game, and then the Thursday playing the Republic of Ireland, and getting that winner in the last minute, Cheesy, was just an incredible feeling. And I had my dad there watching, and a few of my friends from university came through, and I know that there was people from Pennycook at both games, yourself included. So that was just fantastic. And then I remember my dad driving me sort of back up north straight after that Republic of Ireland game, and I suppose all the driving that he did for me to Inverurie when I was younger was still there, even when I was an adult playing. So it was a fantastic week, and definitely something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I hope you got fined for missing a game for a wedding. That's a poor excuse.
Well, to be fair, the guys were really good about it, and they gave me a card and everything on the Thursday night. So they were really good about it. I mean, I was a little bit nervous about getting a black eye or even the sort of junior FA not sort of letting me play because I was going to miss the Saturday, but they were obviously very accommodating. So it was a great week.
Was it sort of more special having had the disappointment of losing the semi-final of the Fife and Lothians to then just a few weeks later bounce back and win the East Scotland Cup with that 2-0 victory over Tranent?
I think so. And I mean, there was one point when we were going for both cups, and there's always the worry of sort of missing out on both. But I think you're right in saying the disappointment of losing to Newton Grange on penalties definitely spurred us on. I think there was a feeling of that we didn't want to sort of let the other one slip. And I think it's as tough a game you could have in the final with Tranent. I think they were almost like a sort of cup specialist team for a couple of years, winning quite a few cups, and obviously getting to the final of that cup, and they had the kind of the know-how of playing in those big games. But I think there was definitely a sense that we didn't want to let that chance slip. And it was a very tense final. I think even after we went 1-0 up, I think there was a few chances. I remember Kyle making a good save at 1-0, and I think it was always in the balance until somebody scored late on. I think that was then the moment where we were able to sort of take a deep breath and know that we'd won it. And real striker's instinct from somebody. I think that goal sums him up well. He's always alive to opportunities like that, and he's read the kind of poor throw that the fullback took, and his finish from quite some way out was tremendous, and just sparked off what was some enjoyable celebrations both on the pitch and then after as well.
You mentioned Kyle Allison making a save. There was also a comparison that he made after the game of you were the Cellini to his Buffon. Did you enjoy that comparison?
Yeah, well, there was a moment, and I think it was still at 1-0 when Tranet had kind of got in behind us, and one of their players has kind of cut across back, and if I didn't sort of cut it out, there was an attacker behind me just waiting to sort of tap it in. And it was similar to a moment that that Buffon and Chiellini had in a Champions League game, which he was sort of slapping me on the back quite passionately as Kyle would do. So I do remember that as well.
And then on the personal front, again, you retained your Supporters Player of the Year award, and this time took the Committee Player of the Year award, but did that winning the Supporters Player of the Year awards 2 years in a row, did that sort of underline the sort of respect that the Pennycook fans have for you, and what did it mean to you personally?
Yeah, I mean, it means a huge amount. I think to get the sort of recognition from the fans is great. I mean, any kind of recognition is sort of welcomed. But I think when you sort of get that backing from the fans, and as I said, you know, when we signed on, you know, it's a player coming from a lower division. Is he going to be able to cut it? But I think, as you say, by that point you've sort of won them over. So I think it's, you know, a real great feeling to get those awards. But I think the main thing that season was winning the cup. And obviously, if you're to, you know, have a choice of personal awards or a cup like that, it's, you know, it's hands down the cup. But it's just a nice added bonus to get that sort of personal recognition as well.
And then that summer, the club made the transition from the East Junior Super League to the East of Scotland League and turning senior. And obviously, you'd had some experience in the East of Scotland League with Heriot Watt, but how did you find the switch initially?
I mean, I think it was a no-brainer, really, to make that choice. And I think certainly when you see what the club has done in the last couple of years since sort of going into the East of Scotland, I think it's it's definitely the right choice. And I think I don't see any reason why Pennycook can't look to progress, you know, further than the East of Scotland in the Lowland League. I think that has to be has to be the aim. And I think when you see how Cove Rangers have done since going up from the Highland League, I think that should be an inspiration to all the sort of lower league teams at the moment. And I think going East of Scotland has given Pennycook a platform to compete in the Scottish Cup, which I'm sure we'll touch on. So I think it was, you know, hands down the kind of best decision to make. And I think the first season it was a bit mixed in terms of the league. So obviously it was the conferences in the first season. So I think the sort of quality of opposition was quite varied. Probably not what it was like in the Super League, the Junior Super League, but I think now is more like the Super League. But I think that first season it was, yeah, a bit difficult because you've got quite a sort of varied level of opposition. But I think the club and the team adapted to it really well.
And we mentioned you maybe being in the Pennycook history books as well for the Scotland international time as well. But you also hold the distinction of being our captain in our first competitive match as a senior side since 1951 against Sauchie. Did you realise at the time that meant something?
Probably not before the game. I think I do remember you mentioning something about it on either social media or the programme after, but I don't think I realised that at the time. But obviously another huge honour to do that. I'm not sure where Summy and our teammate at the time and Callum Connolly were, but a massive honour to have that accolade and not being captain many times, but obviously that was a memorable game to captain the side.
And you mentioned the sort of early part of that season and the results, but in October, Johnny left to go to Berwick Rangers. And after that, Johnny departed. There was a brief period where you were there under Kev, and Tony was also there in the background as well. But how are you finding that transition during that period?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kev and Tony had obviously both worked with Johnny at sort of different times. And I think they were the perfect guys to sort of lead the club after Johnny had left. I think they did a good job at the time and since then of of sort of maintaining the kind of principles that that we had got some success with under Johnny, but also put their own sort of stamp on the team. So I think they were the, as I said, the perfect guys to sort of lead the club through that sort of transition period.
And then obviously later that month as well, yourself, Lewis Barr and Craig Hume left the club and ended up at Berwick Rangers. But how did that sort of come about and how did you feel at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the timing of it was far from ideal. And I definitely understand the frustrations of the fans at that time to see the manager, one of the coaches, and then three players leave, you know, one being the captain and one being the vice captain. So I definitely understand the frustrations, and I think sometimes in life you can't pick the timing of these things. And while it was far from ideal, from my perspective, I was 29 years old, had never played in the senior leagues, and for me, I kind of saw it as what could have been my last opportunity to do so. I had turned down a few opportunities while at Pennycook previous to that to go and play in the senior league, and I think when it's a manager who, I'd played under, as we've discussed, both at Haddington and Pennycook, and we've got a really good relationship. So when he took over there, it was for me not an easy decision by any means, and I was absolutely loving my time at Pennycook, and we've discussed all the success that I had. So it wasn't something that was on my mind to leave, but when the opportunity presented itself, then I took it in the end, and as I said, I can always understand the frustrations, but I think a lot of that was to do with probably the timing of it all. As I said, you can't always choose the sort of timing of these things.
And then when you got to Berwick, there was that period where the three of you were trialists and maybe taking it in turns to play matches, but how did you sort of find your introduction to League Two football?
Yeah, I mean, I missed the first sort of game when Hume and Lewis played up at Elgin, and the team won 4-2, and then I came into the team the next week and we beat Albion Rovers 2-0. We then had a good away point at Clyde. So I think when we first went in, there was definitely a bit of a sort of instant impact in terms of getting a few positive results, and I think that sort of pulled us away from Albion Rovers slightly at the time. But it was just a really difficult time to sort of be at the club, and there was, I suppose, a bit of a kind of toxic atmosphere when results started going badly. I think Berwick have got a great backing, and those games that we won that I touched on, the support was incredible. But then on the flip side, when the results weren't going so well, they certainly made the feelings clear. And I think we were low on confidence for a long stretch. I think Johnny worked incredibly hard to turn it around. I don't think he left sort of any stone unturned in terms of trying to turn it around. He's a very ambitious guy and wanted to do all that he could to make it a success. And we then had the kind of blow of Albion Rovers getting points awarded back. I think it was actually in the morning of a game, and then they went on to win the game that afternoon. So it was a sort of 6-point swing, which I think sort of gave them the momentum after that. But we didn't do enough to get the points on the board that we needed. And ultimately it was was a disappointing experience. I mean, yeah, I mean, my first sort of journey into league football, you'd think it would be probably the sort of highlight of your career and getting to play at the National Stadium against Queen's Park. But yeah, I mean, ultimately they're experiences that I'll probably want to forget. But do, yeah, they do still hurt. I mean, I made a lot of personal sacrifices when I was at Berwick. I mean, I had my son was just born, Harris was just born, so I was sort of sacrificing a lot of time out of the house with, you know, time that I would have been spending with him and Catherine. Also, and I'm sure we'll come on to it in terms of the playoffs. I mean, I missed, you know, most of the wedding of a dear friend on the day of the first playoff leg. And as I said, it's something that still really hurts when I think about it now.
And you mentioned the relegation playoffs against Cove Rangers, and obviously Berwick ultimately lost those playoffs. But was that maybe the lowest point of your career at that point, professionally?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. As I said, that first leg, you know, coincided with a friend's wedding, so that was difficult to take. You know, missing the day to be beat 4-0. I mean, I didn't agree with the timing of letting Johnny go. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely the lowest experience, I think. I was on the bench for the second leg, and then you know, came on, and it was ultimately a party for Cove Rangers. So it was yeah, just an incredibly difficult period in my career. But I think when you go through something like that, you really need to look for some sort of positives. And I think for me, you know, I'm definitely a stronger person and a stronger player because of it. And I think, yeah, I mean, I still think Berwick are a great club, and I think that, you know, the experience of getting relegated was all the worse for the fact that they've, you know, they had such a kind of history of playing in the Football League. But yeah, just incredibly disappointing is how I would sum it up, really.
And obviously that summer, a return to Pennycook beckoned, but how did that move come around for you, and what was the thoughts when you heard we were interested in you?
I mean, I think after the relegation, after Johnny leaving, I think I'd kind of made my mind up that that I didn't want to stay. I'd kind of kept in contact with John Menzies, or Mingus, should I say? He'll slap me on the wrist for calling him Menzies. I've always had a good relationship with John. I mean, we were at Haddington together, and obviously Pennycook, and have shared lifts during that time, so we've got a very good relationship. So I kept in contact with John, and I think the kind of personal touches of him keeping in touch and Kev as well, I think certainly went a long way for me. And I think I've touched on it before, I absolutely loved my first spell. So when I heard that there was an option to come back, I did have some other offers on the table, but when I heard that sort of Pennycook were interested, it just just felt right to come back.
And obviously coming back into the dressing room, you'd been away for 8 months, but did the dressing room feel a bit different, obviously, from the one you'd left?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the kind of core of the team was still there, but sort of with new characters to complement the dressing room. You know, guys like Grinchy, you know, he's a real winner. Might be a bit of a moaner in training and games, but that's only because he's got that will to win, which, you know, which rubs off on us all. And then, you know, a few younger guys come into the dressing room, guys like Bob and Pagey, always give the boys a good laugh. But I think, you know, it's fantastic for the club to have guys like that at that age who have got, you know, a lot of, you know, good years ahead of them. And yeah, hopefully the club can kind of get the best out of guys like that. But I think, you know, going back to kind of what I said before, I think Kev and Tony had sort of, you know, maintained some of the philosophy that, you know, that had got the team success previously, but also put their own stamp on the team and how we wanted to play and the kind of atmosphere around the club. And yeah, I am incredibly thankful to them for bringing me back. And yeah, generally the welcome I got was great. I think I was probably a little bit you know, a little bit anxious about how I might have been received back into the club, given the way that that things had ended previously. But yeah, everyone really welcomed me back with open arms, certainly to my face anyway. And yeah, I'm just, you know, I've been far happier since coming back, and definitely something that that my wife can confirm.
So obviously coming back in as well, we were now in the East of Scotland Premier Division. How did you feel the season overall went before obviously we were stopped? But did it feel more like the old Super League in terms of standard?
Yeah, I mean, I touched on it earlier. I think it definitely did feel, you know, more like the old Super League, as we'll call it. And I think every league game was a difficult game. I don't think there was any, you know, any easy games in that division at all. And you could see that by the results. You know, teams taking points off each other that, you know, you wouldn't have expected. I think, you know, Whitehill down at the bottom were taking points off Bowness at the top, and I think there was results like that all over the place. And in terms of our league form, the guys that have been on the podcast before me have kind of hit the nail on the head. We just didn't get the consistency that we needed, and I think that was sort of all the more disappointing when you know, you look at the squad that we've got. I think you know, we had an incredibly strong squad, and I think we're all ultimately, you know, pretty disappointed with where we ended up in the league. I think at the start of the season, having you know, narrowly missed out on the playoffs into the Lowland League, at the end of the previous season, we would have looked to have challenged for the league. So I think we're, you know, all very disappointed that we didn't ultimately do that in the league.
I mean, obviously we had the league, and the contrast was in the Scottish Cup. And how did it feel to be part of that run for yourself? And then obviously was the highlight playing against Partick Thistle at Firhill?
Yeah, I mean, I had never actually played in the Scottish Cup personally before I did with Pennycook. So, and it was always something that I had wanted to do. And it was, yeah, just great to be able to do it with Pennycooks when I first joined. You know, that wasn't an option. But yeah, I mean, we definitely saved our best performances for the Scottish Cup. I mean, I think to the game away to Cumbernauld, I mean, it was just incredibly comfortable, and I don't think anyone had envisaged that at all. And I think, you know, we were all laughing before the game. I'm sure Tony or Kev made a comment about, you know, we're not going to be 3-0 up at half time, and you know, we obviously went on to completely dominate the game. And I think we got a kind of taste of the Pennycook travelling support at that game. And I think once we had sort of sampled that, it just gave us the sort of impetus and the hunger to want more, really. And then moving on to the Stenhouse Muir game, I think I was probably the only person that was slightly pleased that it was called off the first time. I mean, it was obviously, you know, hugely disappointing for the club, because they had prepared for the game on that first Saturday. But for me personally, it had given me an extra week to get fit. I had been struggling with a shoulder injury and wouldn't have played any part in the game if it had gone ahead the first time around. So I was slightly pleased from a sort of selfish point of view that it was. But then when it went ahead, I mean, I think I've described it a few times as being probably the best game that I've never played in. The boys were just incredible, and I think we really controlled the game, and with the backing of the fans, it was just an incredible day. And I think there was always a bit of a worry when we were sort of dominating the game and not taking any chances that it was gonna come back to bite us. But credit to the guys that really sort of dug in and kept believing that we were gonna get the goals. And I think I've rewatched Sean Stewart scoring the third goal quite a few times. So yeah, that was just fantastic for the club and for the town to get a result like that. Which then obviously brings us on to Park Thistle. And I think alongside the East of Scotland Cup win that we spoke about earlier, I think definitely a highlight of my time at Pennycook. I think the crowd was just unbelievable. I think when we walked out onto the pitch, rightly or wrongly, a flare gone off, I think me and Grinchy looked over at each other and just thought, wow, this is incredible, and something really, really special when you think about how long it had been since the club were in the Scottish Cup. And then, to go a goal down so early on, I don't think I had touched the ball. I don't think any of us had touched the ball. And, there was definitely a worry of, this could be a bit of a rugby score. But I think the fans really drove us on. I mean, they literally did not stop singing for the whole 90 minutes. And I think that was the kind of lift we needed after the goal to sort of get ourselves back in it. And there was a spell in the first half where we were probably the dominant side, and Pagey had half a chance, which he likes to talk about quite regularly. And then obviously Sam Jones had his chance, which I know he spoke about how disappointed he was. But we'd done great to sort of claw ourselves back into the game. And I think the second half, being realistic, we could have probably been, 4-3-4 down. But Bob made some fantastic saves to sort of keep us in it. And as long as it was 1-0, there was always a chance that we could steal a goal at the end. And it just felt like the crowd were willing the ball into the goal, and it just didn't drop for us at the right moments. But I still have fantastic memories, and certainly walking over to the crowd after the game. I mean, for me personally, I had Catherine there with Harris. He was in his Pennycook strip, and my mum and dad had travelled for it. My brother had come up from London to watch, and I had friends from the northeast that had come through for it as well. So it was just a fantastic moment to be sort of waving to them after the game. And yeah, just quite surreal, really, to see that stand full of Pennycook fans. It's something that again will sort of live with me forever, I think.
I suppose there's sort of two big questions that day. The first one was your tackle at the end a penalty, or was it outside the box?
It was inside the box, but it was one of the cleanest tackles I've ever put in. And funnily enough, we bumped into some of the Park Thistle players on our Christmas night out, and I remember speaking to a few of them, and he'd said, no, it wasn't a penalty. But Ian McCall was fairly certain after the game that there was two stone wallers. I mean, I think I think that one was a clean tackle. I had probably decided that one way or another he was coming down. The ball was a bit of a bonus, but no, that was a clean tackle. Maybe had a better shout with the first penalty claim, but definitely not the second one.
And the second question is, did Kenny Miller mistake you for Chris Boyd by any chance?
At what point? Because I look like him.
Well, just with the haircut now and everything, there's a passing the resemblance there after all. Okay?
Well, I would have to go and get a hair transplant to look like Chris Boyd now. But no, I mean, obviously for me as a Rangers fan, it was great to play against someone like Kenny Miller, and I think he was guilty of missing one of the chances, but I think it was testament to us that they had to sort of put him on at half time. I mean, I think a game like that, I don't think the manager would have necessarily wanted to sort of use him, but the fact that he came on at half time, I think, showed that, you know, we gave them a bit of a fright in that first half, definitely.
And then sort of wrapping up your season overall, you also reached 100 appearances for Pennycook. Can we look forward to more in the future?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. Certainly for next season, Tony's hopefully going to give me some more. But yeah, it's similar to kind of before I've touched on, there's been a few sort of milestones that I've had that have been an honour, and that's again another one. I'm sort of on a par in terms of appearances with Callum Connolly, and it'd be remiss of me to remind him that I'm a couple of goals ahead of him. So I'll just leave that one there for Callum.
So sort of looking back at your overall time at Pennycook, what's been the sort of the best moments for yourself, and can you pick the best goal you've scored?
So I think in terms of best moments, as I said before, I think the East of Scotland Cup final, winning any trophy is special, but I think that one was particularly special, and yeah, definitely playing in the Scottish Cup for Pennycook, and having that experience of the game at Partick Thistle were definitely the two highlights. I think in terms of best goal, I can't remember what season it was in. Probably my first season actually. Away to Hillabeath, we won 2-0. I did score both goals, but the second one I think was probably the best goal that I've scored for Pennycook. I think a wee 1-2 with Lofty, I think it was, and then a strike into the top corner. So yeah, I would probably say that's the one that springs to mind.
So I think that brings us the overall. I think that's covered pretty much everything we were going to cover. So thanks for coming on the podcast, Forbesy, and looking forward to getting back soon and seeing you all hopefully again in person rather than through a camera.
Fingers crossed, yeah. Cheers, Diggy.
So that'll do us, and hope everyone listens to the podcast and hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you next week. Cheers. Bye.